The following sermon was recorded at Compass Bible Church in Naples, Florida. For more information on Compass Bible Church, visit our website at compassnaples.org.
All right, Matthew 13, Jesus says something amazing right here in this chapter that we don't want to miss. And it relates to our topic today, looking to Jesus when life doesn't make sense. In chapter 13, verse 10, the disciples ask Jesus this: why do you speak to the people in parables? And here's his answer in chapter 13, verse 11. So Jesus answers them. He says, to you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. There are secrets. Okay, some Bibles call it a mystery, and Jesus is using all of these parables and illustrations to try to show the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Well, that would explain a lot about why sometimes life doesn't make sense. You ever feel that way? Life doesn't make sense? Why is this happening? Why would God allow this? Why? Well, what if I told you, oh, there's a secret. There's a mystery to life. If you don't know the secret, there's no way you're going to understand it. Well, you'd think that you would say, tell me the secret. I want to know the mystery. But here's the good news. As you see it in your Bible, Jesus wants to show us the secret. He tells the disciples, to you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom. All right, so what's the difference between those who are given the secret and those who are not given it? Again, Jesus tells us, and he quotes the prophet Isaiah. Apparently, this understanding the mystery is not a new problem. Look at chapter 13, starting in verse 14. Indeed, talking about those who don't understand it. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. And with their ears, they can barely hear. And their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. So what's the problem? The problem is their hearts. They've grown what? What does it say? Dull. It's a faith issue. Why do I understand? Why do I not understand? It's a faith issue. They're not looking to Jesus. Jesus is revealing himself. He wants to reveal the secret, but a lack of faith, what does it do to our senses? It dulls them. We don't hear. We don't see. Why? Because we've closed our eyes. It says, and when we look at the world from a human perspective, with dull hearts, with eyes closed, with ears shut, do you think we should expect the world to make sense? No. Now, I often say God's ways are not man's ways. How do I know that's true? Well, God said so. It's in the Bible, and that's always a good answer. It's in the Bible. How do you know that's true? It's in the Bible, all right? It's not my opinion. It's not my thoughts. Well, this is how I think it should be. Why do you believe that? It's in the Bible. Look at Isaiah 55. I think it's on the screen here, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So even in this verse, God is trying to help us understand the mystery. God's perspective is higher, right? So in some ways, it's better, but it's also bigger, right? His perspective is higher. He sees everything. So we often don't see the forest because of what? The trees. Do you know what that means? We're just so lost in the things immediately around us, our circumstances, that our perspective is small, it's limited. We only see so much. So we don't see the forest because the trees are in the way. Life is like that, right? You know, and when you're lost in the trees, you're lost in the immediate circumstances around you, life often makes no sense. You can't see the bigger picture, and life is a mystery. So what's happening in your life right now that makes no sense? If you don't have anything like that, that's an anomaly, I can tell you. It's very common. God wants to help you, but you have to play a part, okay? You must believe. You must hunger. Your heart can't be dull. Open your ears. Open your eyes. Listen and see life from his perspective. So this is our big idea today. Life only makes sense from God's perspective. Life only makes sense from God's perspective. He sees it all. He sees what we can't see. He knows the way. So this is part of what we're talking about with setting our compass, right? We're asking, God, orient my life to what you see, because I can't see it. You know, orient my life. Get me headed in the right direction. He'll help you see it, but your heart can't be dull. Well, let's pray. God, all of us have something in our lives, in a loved one's life, in our world. There's something we just don't understand. It's not making sense. Lord, we know that your ways are higher than our ways. We know that our wisdom is like foolishness to you. But we're asking for you to show us, to give us these secrets. Help us to see life the way you see it, and help us to trust you in it. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So we said this a few weeks ago. I'll put it on the screen. Life is a multi-layered drama, and it's not all about you, but you have a part to play in it. All right, so if you try to understand life only from the perspective of your layer in the drama, you know, I mean, if you're reading a book, has multiple chapters, and you go to a book club and you're just talking about one chapter, it's like, no, you're missing that. You don't understand what's going on in that chapter, because there's all this that happened and there's all this other stuff that happened. Life is that way. You know, the layer that you're in is just a layer. You're going to miss it. It won't make sense to you. But the problem is, the other layers in this drama aren't all about you. So you can't really understand those either. But there's someone who sees it all. There's someone who knows what's going on and why it's happening. It's God. Okay? He's given you a part to play in that drama. So what should we do? Play our part. Trust him with the outcome. And in Matthew 10 to 13, Jesus does some things here to help us make sense of our world from God's perspective. So, number one, as you play your part in God's plan, don't be surprised when you suffer. Now, when life doesn't make sense, it's not usually in the good times. Okay, when everything's going great for us, we're usually not going, I just don't understand. You know, why is all this happening? It doesn't make sense to me. Usually we're like, this is how it's supposed to be. You know, things are going well. It's when things don't go the way we want them to go that we begin to say, this doesn't make sense. So what's our mission as a church? To glorify God through the fulfillment of what? The Great Commission, making disciples. There's nothing in that mission about our personal comfort, about our security, about our health, or about getting our way. Now, God cares deeply about you, but his plan, his priority for your life is more than those things. Ultimately, his plan isn't about you. It's not about us. It's about him, okay? It's why our compass has to be dialed into him, not to us. So today, we're going to add to the list of unexpected circumstances that throw us off course. In the first week, we talked about trials, tests that God allows in our lives to help us to grow. Second week, we talked about storms of life. Okay, sometimes storms come to correct us. Okay, but we were talking here about storms of perfection. He's doing it because he wants to help us grow. He has a purpose in life storms. And then last week, we talked about these crises of belief, and they will throw you off course. When others walk away from Jesus, will we go also? It gets right to the core of why are we here? Because there's nowhere else to go. And we're going to stick with Jesus. We're going to stay on course, even when others don't. Now this week, looking to Jesus when we suffer, when we are persecuted for obeying God, well, that makes no sense. But Jesus said to not be surprised. So turn back a couple chapters to Matthew chapter 10. Jesus, in the story, in the gospel here, he had just healed a bunch of people, and now he's sending the disciples out with power to heal, to preach, to save the lost. So God is giving his disciples a significant part to play in the cosmic drama of the kingdom of heaven. So as they play their part in God's plan, Jesus tells them what to expect. All right, guys, getting ready to send you out on this mission. You get to be a part of what I've been doing. Now I'm giving you the power to do it, but I need to tell you this. Matthew 10, verse 16. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Jesus, that's not a good idea. Wolves eat sheep. Jesus is like, well, hold on, I get it. So, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Not sure if that's going to help, Jesus. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their what? Synagogues. That's like the church. And you'll be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. Wow, Jesus, this is not sounding very good. Can I go to the back of the line and maybe get a different assignment? Verse 19, when they deliver you over, do not be anxious about how you're to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. This is really sounding bad. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Okay, so when that starts happening, Jesus warned us. Jesus said, don't be surprised when you suffer for doing what I've told you to do. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Oh, this is going to be a long trip. This is going to be rough. And then Jesus says this, verse 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Okay, do you see that? A disciple follows Jesus, wants to become like him. Why would we expect different treatment than what Jesus was given? It's enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebul, meaning the devil, how much more will they malign those of his household? How does it feel to be maligned by people? To be accused of things that aren't true. You ever had that happen? Does not feel good. Did that happen of Jesus? Yeah, people accused him of being possessed by the devil. If they do that to Jesus and we're following him and his mission to be like him, it's going to happen to us. Don't be surprised. But this is what Jesus says, verse 26. So have no fear of them. For nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And don't fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. So if Jesus had not warned them about this reality that faithful, obedient followers of Jesus will be persecuted and suffer. When all these bad things started happening, it would be very easy for the disciples to assume they messed up. We do this all the time. So when things start going south in your life and bad things start happening, what do we immediately think? I must not be in God's will. I must not be doing what he's asked me to do in the way he wants me to do it. I mean, where do we get that belief? I mean, somehow we've been trained to think if you're doing what God's calling you to do, he's going to bless you, all's going to go well, and it's a sign that you're out of his will when things start going bad. That's not always true. Now, if we're not walking with the Lord, it's a storm of correction. That's just discipline, all right? We need to repent. We need to confess our sins. We need to get right with the Lord, and we may have messed up. So we need to be very humble and aware, is there something in my life? But if you look at your life and other people in your life are saying, no, you're following the Lord, you're trusting him, and yet bad things are happening, don't be surprised. So it's when we're obeying him and we're suffering, that's when it doesn't make sense. So there's an illustration of this right here in the text, Matthew 11. John the Baptist sends messengers to Jesus from prison. Now, do you know why John's in prison? Matthew actually explains it a few chapters later in Matthew 14. This is the short version of it. Basically, John was being faithful to the part that God gave him to preach repentance, to prepare people for Jesus. Well, in being faithful, John actually confronted the king.
That's tough. John confronted King Herod about some immoral behavior. So Herod repented. No, that's not what happened. He arrested John and put him in prison. Now, did John do anything wrong to deserve that? No, no. Okay, did God love John the Baptist? Yes, absolutely. Was God powerful enough to do something about it? Absolutely, he is and was. So did God allow it? Yes. Now, from our human perspective, does that make sense? No. These are unexpected circumstances that throw us off. We get lost when these things start happening in our lives, and this is where we really need a compass. Jesus knows what he's doing when we suffer. He has a purpose in it somehow. But we just can't see it from our perspective. Trees, forest. Set your compass on God. He sees the big picture. He's directing the drama. It's not all about you, but he cares for you. He's given you a part to play in it. So secondly here, as you play your part in God's plan, don't despair when you have doubts. So back to John the Baptist. He was really the first one in a very public way to identify Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior of the world. If you remember some of John's words, he says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I mean, it was a bold proclamation. When no one else saw it, John was confident. He was bold. He called people to repent and follow Jesus. In fact, as Jesus' ministry was growing, John was glad to see his ministry get smaller because he knew that's why he came. That didn't bother John. Didn't bother John that people were going to follow Jesus instead of him. But then something happened he didn't expect. Something that did bother him. He was thrown into prison for doing what God sent him to do. And suddenly, the man who had preached with such great faith and confidence found himself surrounded with doubts and questions. Have you ever felt that way? As John suffered, he wondered if he'd gotten it all wrong. Wow, you know, if Jesus is who he said he is, and I'm doing what he asked me to do, then why is this happening to me? Have you ever asked that? Look at chapter 11, verse 3. John sends some messengers to Jesus with a question. Here's the question John the Baptist wants his disciples to ask Jesus. Are you the one who was to come, or shall we look for another? Is that incredible? I mean, John the Baptist, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Are you the right guy? Do you see the point of his question? Because of his own circumstances, which were not good, John the Baptist was doubting his own faith. He was questioning the very core of what it means to be saved. Is Jesus really who he says he is? So when life doesn't make sense, this is a real place that we can go. Is Jesus really who he says he is? Doubts and questions, friends, they are a part of life. Just like messes and problems are part of a healthy church, right? We're not a perfect church. It's what you do with the messes that makes you healthy. So in the same way, it's what you do with the doubts and the questions that makes you a person of faith. It's not that you don't have doubts. It's not that you don't have questions. When you doubt, it's going to happen. Don't despair. Look how Jesus answers John's disciples who asked this question, starting in chapter 11, verse 4. Jesus answers them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Okay, he's saying, I want to give you the big picture. Look beyond the layer that you're in, John. I want you to see what God is doing in the bigger drama. And as they went away, verse 7, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. Okay, again, John, in a very public way, had kind of expressed his doubts here. This is what Jesus says. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" Right? Listen, do you understand what Jesus is doing here? He's affirming John the Baptist. I mean, John is questioning his faith. He's doubting Jesus. And Jesus is saying, John is playing his part. "Truly," verse 11, "I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist." Wow. "Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." John is suffering in a prison. He's doubting his part in God's plan. And what does Jesus call him? The greatest man who has ever lived. Even with his doubts, even with his questions. So when you doubt, when you have questions, don't despair. If you're beating yourself up because you're doubting or questioning God, he can handle it. Jesus can handle those doubts. You're lost in the trees. It happens, all right? We're human, and we just get lost. This is why we need to set our compass on Jesus, especially when life doesn't make sense, because he sees everything. He sees all the layers. He knows what he's doing. He has a part, a purpose in the part that you're playing right now. And life is only going to make sense from God's perspective there. So number three, as you play your part in God's plan, don't give up when you're weary. Don't give up. Now, children, they don't have dull hearts yet, right? I mean, that's why children are often so refreshing. Children can be other things too. But, you know, in those moments, we're just like, oh, that's so refreshing how this child sees life when, you know, the lights start going on about things. They often see life from a better perspective than we do because they have this childlike faith. Now, life in a fallen world, it has a way of beating that out of us, okay? The disappointments, the failures, the persecutions, the sufferings, it kind of beats that childlike perspective out of us, and our hearts become what? Dull, right? We get lost in the trees. We don't see. We don't hear. We're surprised when things don't go our way. So we despair and we doubt and we give up because we're heavy laden. We're weary. It's just this weight on us of life and the hard things, the unexpected things that we don't understand are happening. But where else are you going to go when that happens? That's what we looked at last week. Where else are you going to go? Only Jesus has the words of eternal life. He is God, and he gives us this amazing invitation at the end of Matthew chapter 11. If you're feeling weary, if you're feeling lost, don't give up. Chapter 11, starting in verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All these things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And remember what we looked at earlier from Matthew 13. Who does Jesus reveal these things to? Those who have faith, those whose hearts are not dull, those who will believe, open their ears, open their eyes like a child. And then he says this. This is the invitation, verse 28. Come to me. Come to me, all you, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So when we don't like our part, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. I don't want that part, God. Give it to somebody else, please. We ask God to take it away. You know, I don't want that. It doesn't end well for the sheep, Jesus. You know, I want to be taken out of the valley of the shadow of death. I want you to take me to green pastures and still waters. But as you look at this promise at the end of Matthew 11, that's not what he's promising. Do you see that? He's not promising to give you a different part. He's not promising to remove you from the difficult situation. What is he promising? What is he inviting us to do? He's saying this. Quit trying to do this on your own. I'm right here. I'm with you. I know you're weary. Come to me. Hitch yourself to me. I will bear the weight of the work. That's what the whole idea of being yoked. You take an old ox who was strong and knew what they were doing, and you take a young ox and yoke the young ox to the old ox. And the old ox was doing all the work. The old ox knew what he was doing. The young ox didn't. I will bear the weight, Jesus says. I will point us in the right direction. I'll help you set your compass. I know the way. You can learn from me as I plow beside you. You're not alone in this confusing time when life does not make sense. But you need to come to me, and you will find rest for your souls, even as you play your difficult part in God's unstoppable plan. Amen? That's what he wants. So he promises to be with you in the suffering. Don't be surprised. He affirms you in the doubting. It's okay. It's all right. I know you can't see it all, but I do. And he will carry you in the weary times. But you must come to him. You must lean into him. You must trust him like never before. So as we finish this series on setting our compass, does Jesus know what he's doing? Let's say it a little louder. Does Jesus know what he's doing?
Yes.
Yes. Does Jesus have a purpose in life's storms?
Yes.
Yes. Is there a better option for where to go to find life?
No.
No. Being yoked to Jesus is the only way to navigate, what did we call it last week? A long obedience in the same direction. But as you do that, as you're yoked to him and he starts to set the course, you will begin to see what he sees, okay? And life may begin to make more sense. And maybe that's where some of the rest will come from.